Oh, I promised to have a new audio file every month on the 6th. So it's only the 11th now. Or yeah, the 12th. It's just after midnight. And I started doing this podcast because I wanted to have something like this. And I couldn't find it, so then you just do it yourself, because that's kind of like the rule. If there's something missing, you just make it yourself. So this is also how I ended up doing the Mad Pride meeting, because I feel like it would be nice if there's something like this. Just like a place for people who got experience with mental health care, just hang out and talk about stuff. And it doesn't have to be mental health care, it can just be random stuff, but be able to complain about healthcare. Because in regular society, you're not allowed to complain about, in quotation marks, the hand who feeds you. Thanks. I think, so nice to not be native English, you get all my weird proverb translation stuff and not getting the words right. So I joined Mad Pride about 5 years ago, and around that time we had a monthly meeting of the people that were active, and it was fun, and we kind of talked about what we were gonna do for what we want to have as a Mad Pride event. It was just nice meeting and seeing them once in a while. And then we had the Mad Pride Day and it was fun. And after that, for some time, there was a philosophy evening where philosophy event where someone with experience in philosophy would talk about stuff we would bring in. We would give cases, and this person would say what some philosophers would have to say about this. It was interesting. It was an interesting thing to do. I think because of COVID and other reasons, it stopped. And afterwards, we didn't manage to start it up again. So I started the meetup. And we hope to still have some people that are interested in philosophy, because it makes conversations different. It's an interesting thing. That's how I ended up doing the Mad Pride meeting. And at first it was at a political cafe, but because that didn't work for me, because it made me dependent on the volunteers from them, and then that was just too much of a hassle for me. And because I lived with some squatters a couple of years ago, and I sometimes visit them, and they said I could always use their space, so once a month I'm there, and sometimes they forget I'm coming, but most of the times they know, and so I got a place to be, and today I went there, and I had two people who came for Mad Pride, and there were also some people who were also living there, joined in. It was a fun conversation. We didn't really talk about Mad Pride stuff or mental health care stuff, but or nothing specific, but still, yeah, it was kind of interesting. I had brought some books. And so I got all these plans that I feel like doing, and then I start, I'm enthusiastic, I start doing it, and then I forget. This happens all the time. So I hope that this won't happen for this podcast, because I promise to do something every month and have just a file every month. I've been doing the Mad Pride meeting for more than a year, and I think I managed to have one. I think I managed every month to get one. Not always in Utrecht, sometimes in another city. So I was showing them some books that I found, and one of them wanted to read them because they found the titles interesting. And it's mostly books by people that experienced mental health care stuff and are writing about it. So one was Christmas from Hell, or something like this. And I read the backside, and this person went through different mental health care institutions and wrote about it, and wrote multiple books and also poetry about it. So I'm curious about opinion when the person finishes this book, if it's also a nice or interesting book to read. They didn't pick the book of the I forgot the name. There's this Dutch guy that died, I think, 2 years ago. He's in the 80s, he wrote a lot of very nice stories, like really good storytelling. But he was struggling with depressions, and he also put this in the story. So it's interesting for Dutch people. Send me a message, and I will look it up, because the most or many of his stories are also you can still listen to them on the public radio 2. You can find them in the archives. So I was going through my bag with stuff that I brought. I brought the books. I also brought some zines that I printed for another event. And so they're also on the Vakoplamp website. And just go vakoplamp.nl/zine. And there are the slides I want to talk about with people, but I didn't have a nice moment today to talk about it, because I didn't want to take center stage. I wanted to have people have a great opportunity to talk, and I thought I'll talk about this stuff at another time. So the zine, We Are All Very Anxious. I wish I had printed it. I didn't bring it. I brought a couple of copies of the Icarus poster, which is really nice with the in comic form, just the stuff that's good for a person. Go outside sometimes, have dinner at proper time at normal intervals. So it's eating well, sleep well, sleep and rest, exercise, herb meds, etc. Having a schedule, and it's comic form, so it's not oppressive, and it's just fun, and it also sometimes makes me show. So there's this photo, this drawing of a person sitting in a room watching television and being depressed, and then shared with people being outside being happy. And I get I feel good about moving. I feel good when I move. I feel good when I've been moving, even when it's raining. And sometimes I feel bad sitting inside and feeling, I don't feel like going outside. And then I see this person, I think, yeah, I should do stuff. And then I don't take the bike to the shop, but I go by wheelchair and it takes a lot longer, but then it's some exercise and I feel better afterwards. This poster has the nice subtitle, so the title is the Icarus Project, a radical mental health support network by and for people struggling with dangerous gifts commonly labeled as mental illness. I really love this. This is a drawing by Sophie Crumb from 2005. I have sent this person a couple of times a message if we could use this as Mad Pride or what, how we could get to an agreement. Never got a response. The Icarus Project is using this, so we're just kind of stealing it as well. If Sophie Crumb hears this, we would like to get in contact and have a proper way of doing this. Wait up, I don't trust the smartphone that's recording this thing. Is it? Yay, it's still recording. Wow, I can trust in technology. Ooh. So that was a thing that I shared, and then I realized that I should have brought We Are All Very Anxious. It's an interesting scene. And I did bring the text about recovery and resilience after protests. It's an important thing for people who go outside and have interactions with police and other authoritarian people to have read this thing, because it can be really shit to interact with police and other authoritarian, and it can ruin your mind, and reading about how to deal with this is really, yeah, it can help. I had also brought some a zine I made with a friend, or a short text, about white people with dreadlocks. And I'm not sure about this stuff, because I feel very much like a white savior starting about this, but yeah, I just feel somewhat awkward about it. And so I got two articles and a personal opinion of someone and put them in and printed them and intended to give a stack to a squad where there's a lot of people with dreads. And it's kind of awkward, like people from Greenpeace, so many people got dreadlocks there, and it's like, ooh, all these clean and yeah, it just doesn't fit for me. If for me it's so I feel awkward for white people to have dreadlocks, because there's a lot of history behind it and stuff, and it's all so it's, there's also some white history, and the white history behind it for the squatter scene, for the activist scene, is there from punk and anti-capitalist, anti-heteronormativity, anti-sexism, this kind of stuff. But then you get people who just look very nasty and don't take care of themselves and don't take care of their hair, and they get just nasty, these nasty dreadlocks, and But then I see these people at the Greenpeace, and they got these tidy, well kept, and I said, no, that doesn't fit, and that it's just not right in my mind. But then also I cannot, I'm also white, I cannot tell them what's good or not, so I just feel like, oh, I'm just gonna print a thing with the opinion of others and just share it with them, and hopefully they will also start to feel awkward about it and just take whatever hair they like. And I hope to make, I would really like them to have short hair. Also very nice, anti-normative. So yeah, I was saying I was gonna do 20-minute recordings, and it's nice because I can see how much time I got and how much I got left, and I saw it after 3 minutes, and now 15 minutes I see it again, so I'm a really good chatter. It's harder for me to be quiet than to be talking. I was gonna go say stuff about the, oh yeah. Yeah, the thing with the dreadlocks is, so yeah, I had dreadlocks at some times. It didn't work for me. It was too much effort to keep them. So that you grew out, I cut them off. I was 20 or something, I don't know. And I had the mohawk a couple of times, and I think it looked nice on me. But then I heard about the thing where it was the history about it, and then I thought, nah, I don't feel right about doing this, so I decided not to do it again. And now I just do random hair, and I bleach it sometimes, and I color it sometimes. Last couple of months I'm having fun with my beard, because finally after 40 years, or not after 40 years, after, so some people started getting a beard at 15, I think. I start at 12. It's normal for people to have a beard at 18, probably. I only started having a bit of beard at 30, but it was really thin. So I couldn't really do anything with it. I already had a bit of fun bleaching it and stuff. But now that I turned 40, all of a sudden I am having like a real beard. I feel I'm so happy about it. And when I got my winter jacket out of the closet, I saw it was this kind of fancy, not fancy, this normal looking British. I felt very British with my walking stick, this black old fashioned, cotton, probably, I don't know. Jacket, a long jacket. I felt like a historical British person. So I want to have a beard that represents that. So I got the handlebar, I think it's the official name. But people might also know it from the Motorhead. I think it was the Motorhead person that had also his haircut, this beard for his entire life. So strange. People have only one haircut. Yep, it's the Motorhead person. Yeah, I should bleach it again or do something with it. Also, bleaching eyebrows is fun. But I've been coloring my hair all my life. It's like the thing that I like to do. Yeah. In my time, in my small city, there was no queer stuff. But I think if I was turning 20 now, I would definitely, I would developed way different. How do you feel about this? This being for the bit older people, like the not 16-year-olds. Yeah. So this was the second recording, and I'll add it to the list, and maybe there's gonna be more. I never know.